Hello and welcome. Wherever you are in the world today, thank you for joining us for the Rise Traveler, unpacking conversations of sustainable travel. We are here to talk to eco-minded and socially conscious travelers, diversity and inclusion specialists, wildlife conservationists, environmental activists, and anyone using travel as a way to uplift and inspire. Together, we will go a step beyond the Instagram-ready world of travel and take a look at how travel can be a source of growth and development for all people and all communities. And now, here's your host, Amy Hager.
Joining me remotely today from Seattle is Dr. Anu. Welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Hi there, Amy. Great to be here.
So I love to start out our conversation with, why did you get involved in the Rise Travel Institute? What was your connection?
I'm associated with Rise primarily because of my book. So My book is Beyond Guilt Trips, Mindful Travel in an Unequal World. And Vinci, I believe, had read it, had heard of me from some place and reached out to me. And we've developed a very sweet connection over the months. And as I learned more about RISE and the kinds of educational programs that they are moving forward with, it was a wonderful way to partner. My book is being used as a textbook for the pilot program, and so becomes a core component of some of the learning that the participants will be engaged in.
So then I want to dive more into your book, but I am a little bit curious. Tell me more about your background and like, what are you up to now? I know you work at one of the universities out in Washington State, right?
Yes. So I do a couple of different things, Amy. I'm a professor at the University of Washington in Seattle. I've been a faculty here for 20 years now, and I teach about race and gender and identity and difference. I teach about global issues and global literatures. So classes that I teach could be anything from post-colonial African literatures to literature from Zimbabwe or Kenya or Uganda, very specifically. Sometimes I teach classes on travel and travel writing. Mm-hmm. I teach classes on US and race and identity. And I teach also about teaching. How do we teach about tricky topics? What do we do in the classroom when we've got lots of different opinions and ideas and we're not quite sure where to go? What happens then? Mm-hmm. So I work with a lot of graduate students and faculty around these issues. Okay. Outside of the university, I work as a racial equity consultant, DEI consultant, mm-hmm. and I've been doing that for a long time as well, about 15, 16 years. Mm-hmm. And I work with higher ed, I work with public agencies, with private companies and nonprofits, folks that are having what I call tricky and sticky conversations.
Yeah.
Conversations that we know that are necessary, but we're not so sure how to have them. We know that change is critical, and that means doing something different to what we know and learning anew can feel really uncomfortable about a range of things.
Yeah.
So I partner with people in groups to help them navigate that a bit better. I also do a lot of work around study abroad and international education. So have been leading students from the University of Washington, as well as partnering with other universities and introducing students to communities outside of their own that sort of look like them.
Yeah.
And sort of not look like them. Things that are familiar and things that are unfamiliar.
So it sounds like it is a lot, right? You've kind of been able to be exposed and be involved in so much.
Yes.
And so I guess my first question is, how did the idea of this book particularly come to mind? What was the motivation?
I didn't know that I was writing a book, actually.
Oh, surprise.
I started writing some of the stories that were in my mind because these were the conversations that I was having with my students and students who I didn't know. Why was I in Peru and we never once talked about race? Why am I on a global health mission trip to the Honduras and my program is not really talking about what it means to have more than the community that we're serving right now? How do we know what a community needs?
Yeah.
Are we actually listening? These were the questions that people were talking with me about. Mm-hmm. And as I started looking around, I didn't see anything quite like the conversations I was having with people. Yeah. And my mind got so full, I started the book as a way to relieve my mind of all that it was holding. And wow. So I had small little chunks of writing. And at some point thought, I wonder if I can thread this together. I wonder if this is something beyond just a file that's sitting in my computer.
Yeah.
I wonder if others would also want to participate in this conversation. And it turns out that people do. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. Wow. I love that. I love the, you know, especially since it's more of a community. It's not just you. It's from the interactions that you've had with students absolutely. And others. And that's just so beautiful to really have all of that interconnected. Then I have to admit, I haven't read it yet. And I know that we're using this in our pilot program. But tell me, what is the most important objective that you are wanting people to take away or wanting to achieve with the book?
I can probably give two or three. Okay. It's hard to distill it into one.
Let's do two or three.
You know, something you said a moment ago is really connected. The book is a collection of various stories, mine and many people who I know and I've interacted with over the years. And there's a lot of community voices involved in it. The book is also meant to be read with others. So you have a community of readers who have some support in speaking through some of the issues. After chapters, I've got sections of introspective and reflective questions that are meant to bring readers together so they can process what it is that they've just read. They can speak with one another about some of these ideas. Mm-hmm. And that component of community, both in putting the book together and in inviting readers into it, is one thing that I hope to offer, right? None of what we're feeling about the world, about inequity, about history, about good intentions, none of that is simply your issue or my issue as individuals. These are collective issues, right? But without speaking about them with each other, they become just your issue or they become my issue to navigate and have to figure out what to do with. But if we think more that it's not just yours or mine and it's our issue to sit through, talk through, figure out, cry about, laugh about, create some skills and camaraderie around, that's what a movement does. Right? Yeah. A movement is made up of many, many individuals whose passion and curiosity come together for something bigger.
Right.
And if we are actually wanting to grapple with the history that plays out now, whether we're far away from home or whether we're right here at home, we're going to have to come together and talk better together.
Yeah.
So I hope this book brings people together in community. I hope it creates a little bit more community for us in our very somewhat isolated, bubbled lives these days. Mm-hmm. I hope the book supports us by giving us some skills and tools to grapple with that complex history. Mm-hmm. History is so easy to say, oh, that happened back then. But if you just look around, our present is made up of moments of the past that are continually playing out.
Right.
But if you and I don't have much practice talking about this, no wonder we shut down. No wonder we get uncomfortable. No wonder we retreat. And the more you and I shut down, it's really hard to come together and talk, no? So community, a little bit more comfort, being able to talk about hard concepts together and a little bit more grace to navigate what's in front of us. If we want to build something better together, we will have to do it with a variety of strategies. Grace is a really important, I think, key point of this strategy, of this world making.
So then you're also co-teaching one of our sessions. I think it's Travel in Me, Locating Ourselves in the Spectrum of Power. What are you excited about in teaching and leading this conversation in the program?
My contribution to that program is quite small, let me admit. Mm-hmm. My co-teacher, Justine, is really taking the heavy lift on that. So you should interview her if you haven't already. She's great.
Yep. She is great. Yes.
So I would say that, you know, in addition to my small part with RISE, but more generally, my enthusiasm for teaching and participating in these conversations, I guess it just comes back to community, right? Yeah. We are not islands from one another. We are not islands. My actions influence you. Your actions influence me. Whether we are near each other or whether we are far apart from each other. This is what we speak about when we say we're looking for a more sustainable planet, when we're thinking about global connections and interrelatedness, mm-hmm. right? We're trying to become less island-like and more community and think about bridge building. So much of my teaching and facilitation is using imagery like that to really think about how are we creating the bridge that we walk along. Bridges aren't always there. We have to create the bridges as we're walking. And that means one more conversation. It means one more gathering where we can have tea together. It means one more struggle that we're having, but that we can come back to. It's not about not having struggle or not having conflict. Struggle and conflict can be great for us. We're going to have to know how to move through that with some grace and some skill so we can come back together. All of that is about bridge building, right? Bridge building. Yeah, so much of my work is really thinking through those concepts.
Well, and I think the other sense too that I'm getting and like almost want to thank you for is creating that space to have these conversations, to build those bridges and to talk through how to build those bridges. Yes. Right. I mean, community and conversation are just so key. And it's just this beaming theme of everything that we're talking about today.
Yes.
And so then when you think about community conversations and what you're doing, you know, in your work, how do you see the future of the travel industry? Is it going to improve because we are now maybe more recognizing the space to have conversations in community? Do you think more conversations need to be happening? What do you think?
Well, certainly it's hard to speak about the industry as a whole. I know bits and pieces of it. And from what I can see from the angle and the lens that I have, this year and a few months of pause in the business as usual travel industry has, of course, created joblessness, has created a lot of struggle in people's lives and livelihoods, right? That's an important piece to this pause. If there is a silver lining to this pause, it's that I'm meeting a whole range of people who have had a bit of time to think through their values and their mission a little bit more rigorously, a little bit more thoughtfully, a little bit more warmly, right? It's not just about bottom line.
Right.
Or let me say it differently. If our bottom line wasn't only about finances, if our bottom line was also about the connectedness that we feel in doing this work, if it was also about our values and our vision for a better planet, how might we build up from that bottom line? That's the conversation that I'm hearing in a lot of places.
Yeah.
travel tour operators, travel guides, planners having some opportunity to think through these questions in their own companies or with other organizations. Some of that has happened with my book. I'm really happy to participate in those conversations. Some of that has been just the pause from the business as usual to be able to think about what we do differently. You can't also forget that this year of travel pause has been during an incredibly significant racial reckoning in the United States mm-hmm. about equity, racism, and the dignity of people. Those conversations have everything to do with the travel industry. They're not separate. They're not separate at all. And, you know, my book is one resource that's really bringing together travel with racial equity work here in the US and trying to create more pathways mm-hmm. for those conversations. There's a lot of us that are wanting to grapple with these issues, wanting to have more synergy between what we're noticing in our own communities and what we might do in a far off community, and saying, what are the links between that? There's got to be some links. Mm-hmm. So the less walls we have and the more bridges that we are able to create for some of these conversations, I think it can enrich our work in a much more meaningful way.
So then when you think about your book, and can you hold up the book again so people can see the cover? Beyond Guilt Trips, Mindful Travel in an Unequal World. The one thing that is really jumping out at me is you wrote this book and it was published in 2019 before the pandemic happened. Yep, before all of these other events happened in the United States.
Yes.
When you pause and kind of reflect about all of this, share with us, what legacy do you want to leave behind in this world?
I love that question because it's a question for right now and it's a question for later. Yeah. Legacy isn't only about at some future point. Legacy is today.
Right.
It's both. So I love the question. I think I would highlight some of the words that we've been speaking about. I hope that my legacy in my work and my life is about connection, communication, camaraderie, collegiality, compassion. I think about what it means to critique with compassion. Because critique is about noticing what is wrong, and there's quite a lot that's wrong in our world. So much that so many institutions and systems and ways of thinking that are creating more harm and heartache in small and big ways. And so there's lots of work to do to repair. I want to be engaged in that work from a lens of compassion and connection. It feels more sustainable. It feels more far-reaching. And it invites us in. It invites us in.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the more of us that feel a sense of belonging, the better our world is. Mm. How do we create more belonging?
Yeah.
Dignity, opportunity. Not only for you or I, but for more than just you or I. That's the movement I want to be a part of. And I hope that my legacy today or on some future date encompasses some of that. There's a lot of people who are engaged in this work. Mm-hmm. I have got many ancestors, both by blood and by word and by deed, ancestors across the ages and across the time who have worked to make life better for more of us. And in my small way, I'm participating in that conversation.
The conversation of making life better for more of us.
Yes, certainly.
I love it. Dr. New, I think we could just go all day, but we probably need to get running. And thank you so much for being on the show with me today. I really appreciate it.
Certainly. Thanks very much.
So that brings us to an end of our journey. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to hear more, please subscribe to our email list at therisetravelinstitute.org/subscribe. And again, here at the Rise Travel Institute, we believe travel is a powerful tool for positive, transformative change. And so if you're a college student planning to study abroad, a young professional maybe thinking about that gap year, or really anyone who wants to travel the world in a sustainable and more thoughtful way, we really encourage you to head to risetravelinstitute.org for more information on our educational courses and our upcoming pilot program. I'll be back soon with another episode, but until then, keep roaming, keep learning, and continue to be a Rise Traveler. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This podcast is an extension of the Rise Travel Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit committed to empowering young travelers through educational programs, research, study tours, and scholarships. Visit risetravelinstitute.org to learn.